Oh, welcome back. It is a party over here at Village Connector Media. It's a beautiful day outside. We are surrounded by love and the energy is flowing and abundance is rolling towards us like a runaway freight train. I'm Mia Zachary and I am here with my friend, my co-host, my soulmate, my guide, my traveling companion on the path, Glenn Garnes.
I'm so glad you painted the picture that way because we're sitting in a room where we cannot see outside. We don't know if it's snowing, raining, or whatever. It could be cloudy or whatever. But you just painted a very nice picture regardless of what's happening. And that's actually a great way to position what we're going to talk about today. So I'm not going to say anything other than very well done.
Thank you. I think to paraphrase a particular TV show, you know, it's always sunny in Village Connector Community Center.
All right. I'm glad you paraphrased. Let's not.
I'm not promoting them. They're not a sponsor.
They're not a sponsor. Exactly. But they should be.
They should be. Along with some other places we could name, but we won't because I'm hungry. So I was thinking back to a conversation that we had a couple days ago, and this you know, this phrase popped into my head, and that's what reminded me. It's like, these are uncertain times. And it reminded me of the conversation we had after our personal development meeting last Wednesday. And I don't want to say what you said because I can't remember exactly, but it was something to the extent that, you know, people want a better life, but what they really want is like a checklist, and they can just say, okay, I did this. I thought positively today. I said my affirmation today. You know, where's all of my abundance? But you made an excellent point that they're looking to do certain things, but they're not looking to do them in a certain way. So I'd love to have a conversation about that with you today, if you don't mind expounding on that thought.
Sure. That phrase, doing things in a certain way, comes from The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. And what Dr. Wattles, I say doctor, everyone to me is doctor this, doctor that, but what Wattles was describing is that we sometimes observe what other people are doing and think that we can replicate the results that they get by simply doing those same things. That's only part of the equation. What actually happens is when you really start to develop an understanding of what it takes to get results, you realize that there's something deeper than just the things that people do. It's the spirit in which they do the things. And what Wattles talks about is not doing certain things, but doing things in a certain way. Now, I have to confess that the first 180 times I read that book, I started thinking to myself, certain meant a particular way, you know, like, you know, particular order, or, you know, with, you know, a certain amount of time put to it or whatever. And I started to realize that that was not what he was talking about. When he talked about doing things in a certain way, he meant doing them with the faith that it was going to work, the faith that it was going to materialize. Because otherwise, there's no reason to do the things unless you believe that it's going to manifest what you're seeking to create, whatever that might be.
Right. So if I may, to actually quote the Wattles book, Science of Getting Rich, thought is a creative power. You must form a clear mental image of what you want, holding fast to the purpose to get what you want in order to receive what you've been asking for.
Exactly. And there's so much wisdom in some of these resources that we have been sharing together that you really do need to read and understand and take time to reflect on what was just digested. You know, it's almost as if every time you pick up a book and you get a piece of wisdom, a tidbit of wisdom from it, it's time for you to reflect on what was really meant there. Sometimes we get lost in trying to get to the end of the chapter or trying to, you know, see what's, you know, what's coming next, that we're missing what's here now.
Right.
And so I used to be in that mode, still catch myself doing that. I've actually started finding myself catching myself when I do that and go back and read it again right there. And that's really helped me a lot not to miss some of the deeper insights into some of these teachings. You know, it's fine that you should read a book 3, 4, 5. There's some books I've read, you know, I've read The Law of Success in 16 Lessons every year for the past almost, I think it's going on 15 years now. I mean, it's been a while that I've been reading that. And if I had been a little bit more full of thought when I was reading it the first few times, I probably would have picked up these little tidbits of wisdom more quickly, which is why I love what you're doing with the podcast, because you're basically helping people not have to wait 15 years to get the complete message.
Right.
You're zeroing them in on the deeper insights into these things so that they can learn from your experience and learn, shorten their learning curve in the process.
Exactly. So. And it's, you know, with everything that you do in creating abundance in your life, tear up the checklist. And that includes reading the books. Like you said, you know, you can say, oh, you know, I read The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. And you did. You read it. But you didn't study it. You didn't embrace it. You didn't drink it into your soul. You didn't live it. You didn't manifest it. You didn't believe it. And that's what makes all the difference. And the other thing that I have found in my own experience that's made a huge difference is, you know, I read the book the first time. And then I went and bought the audio. And I found that I got completely different insights from having a different style of learning. You know, everybody has a combination of, you know, auditory, visual, and kinesthetic learning. Some people have to learn by doing, some by reading, some by hearing. But I think if you can find a way to do all of those things, it deepens your understanding and it accelerates your being able to take what you're reading and learn it and apply it. And the other thing too is I'm a big fan of paper and pens, but it's great that you highlight the book, and it's wonderful that you're like, oh yeah, at 1:13 he said this. But if you sit with a journal or even just a scrap of notebook paper and write down the things that, you know, kind of hit you or catch your attention, those are the things that are going to stick with you. Those are the things that are going to stay with you for a lot of reasons, neurological, and you know, biomechanical, but this is not about how many books you read. It's about how well you start applying the things that you read.
Exactly. And it's never a race. This is designed to be a journey, and the journey should take as long as it takes you, especially when it comes to understanding and applying the wisdom. You know, all this knowledge out here is meaningless unless you're finding a way to apply it to advance yourself in some aspect of your life. And so it shouldn't be a race to finish the book. Now, it shouldn't take you forever. You know, if you're committed to it, if you are giving it the level of attention it deserves, if it's important enough for you to put your time and attention into, it shouldn't take forever for you to get through one of these resources. But what I guess I'm saying is that you should not rush through it just for the sake of saying you finished it.
Right, right. And that's the thing about this entire journey is it's about the opposite of rushing. You know, we live in a society that's so fast-paced, and everybody, and I have a patience issue. I recognize that. I admit it. I want everything yesterday. But I'm learning. I'm learning that when I stop and take the time to appreciate the things around me, to appreciate the things I'm reading, to appreciate the things that I'm told, that I'm taking them in a deeper level, and I'm seeing the results of that. I'm seeing that manifest. And I'm with you with the Wattles book. You've read it more times than I have, but I have to admit I had the same struggle about, you know, what do you mean the certain way? So if I'm going to, for example, think positively in a certain way, you know, does that mean it has to be first thing in the morning when I wake up and I have to, you know, have to be in darkness? I have to be sitting on a pillow in a certain, you know, cross-legged pose. You know, it kind of took some time because, like you said at the beginning, we see what other people are doing and we compare. So we're like, oh, well, all these people are into yoga these days, so maybe that's the certain way that I'm supposed to think. And that's not really it at all. You have to find your own, I don't want to say technique, but you have to find your own process.
Yes. And you have to be mindful that being certain really signifies belief. Esther Hicks talks about ask, believe, and then you're automatically going to receive. The receiving.
Is that in her Ask and It Shall Be Given book?
It's in there. She talks about it in The Secret. You know, she talks about it in her lectures. But the point is that you're receiving something has to do with your believing that it's coming your way. And, you know, most people, they ask for stuff, but they have no belief whatsoever. They're praying, hoping, wishing, and all that other kind of stuff. And they don't put any real belief behind what they just asked for. It's a mechanical activity of the ask. And when you just apply mechanical principles to something without any emotion or feeling behind it, or in this case, belief, it doesn't create anything.
Do you think that's because of the kinds of things that people tend to ask for? So, for example, you know, a lot of times when you talk to people and they're like, oh, it would be so great to be rich, it would be so great to be a millionaire, you know, if only I could win the lottery. You know, so they spend the dollar or $2 on a lottery ticket, but they don't believe for even a microsecond that they're going to actually win. They have no certainty behind the action that they're taking. So possibly these are not uncertain times. These are uncertain people in these times. So maybe instead of going, oh, I wish I could win the lottery, oh, I wish I could have a better job opportunity or something like that.
Well, most people that are asking for things, they don't do this process of believing what they just asked for. They don't believe, they ask for things that they don't believe they deserve, or they ask for something that they don't believe they understand how to get, and they don't understand that it's not for them to decide how. That's the province of
the tough
universe.
Part.
Yeah, exactly. And there are a lot of tough parts if you go back to the way we're typically taught and, you know, enculturated through societal beliefs and things of that nature. But what really happens for most people is that they never bring their belief in alignment with what they're asking for.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. What is a belief? The things that we believe tend to be the things that our parents taught us, trained us in, the things that society indoctrinated us in. It takes effort, it takes challenge, it takes unthinking to form your own beliefs as opposed to just parroting the things that you were raised with. So possibly that's another aspect that's affecting people's certainty.
Well, and that's certainly the case. If you were to look around at people who are saying, I'd like to be wealthy, but they don't have anybody in their immediate circle of influence that's developed great wealth. And I'm using wealth only because that's something that a lot of people tend to ask for, or at least dream about, wish for. It's hard to develop a belief that you can do it when you haven't seen somebody else do it, someone you know. I mean, watching Donald Trump or Warren Buffett and all these, you know, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, until you start to understand their stories and start to break them down and realize that they were just average people that had ideas. You know, they were not extraordinarily talented at anything other than applying their energy to something that was important to them, something they decided they wanted to do. And if you start breaking it down and understanding that, then it doesn't require you to have somebody in your immediate circle of influence that's accomplished that. But we all start out by looking around our immediate environment. And if our parents aren't wealthy, then we don't have a wealth model. If our friends aren't wealthy, then we don't have a wealth model. If our teachers aren't wealthy, then we don't have a wealth model. And whether you measure success by wealth or just happiness in life, think about this. How many of us are living in households where our parents were at each other's throats? And we're thinking to ourselves, how nice it would be to live in a loving household, but we're not.
We don't
know how to visualize what a loving household will be because we haven't experienced it.
Right.
And so it really takes some discipline to develop a method of thought or a way of thinking that allows you to manifest something before it exists. And that's what belief is really about, is seeing it before it manifests. Believing it is what causes it to manifest. The problem is most people say, well, I'll believe that when I see it.
Exactly.
And it's the direct opposite. You'll see it when you believe it. So a lot of it becomes a matter of empowerment. If you don't feel competent to manifest something that you're asking for, you're immediately rejecting it before you've even, you know, put your attention to it.
Well, let's step back for a second, because that is a huge concept. And maybe some of the people listening are like, what in the heck are you talking about?
I can feel that already, because we just covered something that could probably take four more podcasts
to really
do justice to.
So, you know, for today at least, I want to focus on the certainty aspect. And I think that, you know, let's share the process. Ask, believe, receive. That's the simplest way to explain the process of manifesting abundance in your life. So the first part is the ask. And the ask is, you have to be certain about what it is you want. And sometimes that's a difficult process for people. That's the difficult piece. And I'll tell you why. For me personally, I'm still working on this. I'm still, I hate to say struggle, I don't want to use that word, but it is still a little bit of a challenge for me to ask for certain things. And by that I mean, you know, my overall definite chief aim, my paramount purpose at the moment is to be in a position to take care of myself and my son. And yeah, I hate to keep coming back to money, but you know, at the moment where I am in my life, that is my paramount purpose, to no longer have to worry about, you know, food, shelter, and transportation for me and my boy. So when I'm asking for certain things, you know, they are on a quote smaller level unquote than they will be, you know, further down the line. But there are times when even that is difficult, because it's like, okay, well, what does financial security mean? Let's say it means having a job. So, and you and I, and I'm bringing this up because you and I specifically talked about this. I had an opportunity back in November where a friend had a client who was looking to fill a position. My friend recommended me for this position, and because of my need at the time, I was laser focused on this particular ask. I asked for this position. I visualized myself in this position. I was absolutely certain in everything I did about, you know, getting this position. And you advised me at the time, you know, be careful. You know, be certain about the outcome, but uncertain about the method. Would you mind sharing?
Yeah. Well, if you peel back the onion a little bit further, you were basically dictating to the, we'll just say, the universe, the thinking stuff, the infinite intelligence.
I do not have control issues. Stop saying that.
You do have control issues, and that's the problem, is that We don't understand the process and how we interact with the intelligence. We are required to do certain things, and the rest of it is left to a higher power. We try to take on responsibility for somebody else's work, the higher power's work, instead of focusing on what it is we're supposed to do. You see, you were trying to dictate the result of financial security through that job, and it could very well have been the case, and as it turns out for you was the case, that the best path for financial independence for you wasn't that job. It was some other things that you were kind of leaving out there or rejecting or not being open to, that were trying to come your way, that you had blinders on.
And that's, thank you, because that's exactly the point I wanted to make, is I was unconsciously competent in manifesting that job, because I got the first phone interview, I got the second phone interview, I got the in-person interview, I got a three-day trial, you know, on the job. I got exactly what I asked for. I asked for it, I believed it, and I received it. But guess what happened when I got it?
You realized you didn't want to be
there. I didn't want it.
That's right.
I had asked for the complete wrong thing, because I was dictating to the universe how to send me what I was asking for in a certain way.
It's like when you pray to God and you say, God, send me a sign, make it strike lightning right next to me if you're hearing me. And what you really got was God sent you exactly what you asked for, but you were so busy waiting for lightning to strike that you didn't see it.
Tell the story. I love that story about the priest.
About the priest. Okay. So, and this is a very graphic example, very perfect for this, but there was a priest who was preparing for, there was a flood, and the priest knew the flood was coming. And when the rain started, the flood waters started to rise, and there started to initiate a rescue effort. So they sent out people to get people out of the town. And the priest, when they came for him, said, oh no, I'm going to be okay. God is going to save me. And so as the flood waters continued to rise, the priests ended up having to go higher in the chapel of the, or in the church, because the water was rising. And so they came by initially in a boat, and the priest was, you know, there, and the rescuers came over and said, hey, look, Father, you know, it's not getting any better. We need to take some action here and get moving. And the priest said, no, God is going to rescue me. And so they went away, and they came back as the priest was on the top of the church, because that's how high the water had risen. And they came this time in a helicopter, and the priest was given the opportunity to be rescued, and he said, no, we're, you know, I'm going to be, God will save me, you know, I have faith that God will save me. And so the priest ultimately died, and when he got to heaven, he asked, I guess it was Saint Peter, he asked Saint Peter, well, I'm a little confused, I'm angry at God, why did he let me die? And he said, well, listen, we sent you,
we sent you a boat, a helicopter, and a rescue.
You know, what were you thinking, you know?
Yeah, how many signs did you need?
Exactly. And that's how we sometimes approach things, is that if things don't manifest in exactly the form that we think they should, then we miss where they did manifest.
And we lose hope.
That's right.
We lose
that
hope.
Makes
at that
makes us
point.
Less likely to believe.
And less it becomes, certain.
That's right. That, and we lose our certainty. So really, making this concept of the law of attraction work for you is to understand that when you ask, if you believe that it will manifest, you simply have to be on the lookout. It might be that somebody is introduced to you. It may be that you get a chance to see something that you hadn't seen before. It may be that some new resource, I'll give you an example. How many people are thinking to themselves, you know, I'd really like to have a brand new car? And then the next thing they know, they're getting these solicitations in the mail for car loans. But they're not thinking that the car loan was the car. They're thinking that they're going to wake up and there's a new car in the driveway.
Right.
You know, that kind of silliness. And I realize it's not silly at the time because you don't know any better. But my point is that, you know, they may be given an opportunity, for example, to participate in a business venture that, you know, the prize for being successful in sales is a new car.
Right.
You know,
right.
You've got to look for that. You know, and a lot of people say, oh, yeah, that's so diffuse and everything. But you know what? That's how it works.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you can let go of the need to dictate how something's going to happen, you leave the how to the thinking stuff, so to speak. I realize we're using some phrases here that probably don't mean much to people.
All right. So why don't we take a quick opportunity to explain? This is not a show about religion, despite the fact that we talk about faith a lot.
And faith, this is not, faith means belief. Let's
exactly.
be clear about that. It doesn't mean allegiance to a particular religious doctrine.
Right.
It means belief.
And what you choose to believe in is up to you. My purpose in creating this podcast is not to exclude anyone. So whatever you call, whatever you believe in, you call it God, you call it Allah, you call it Buddha, you call it the universe, you call it the force, whatever you choose to call it, we tend to say the thinking stuff or the intelligent energy or the infinite intelligence around here. But we're speaking about the same things.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter what you call it. The issue is whether you believe it.
Right.
And with that in mind, I just got my microphone better positioned. I like this better. I feel like we're bouncing around a little bit today, so I apologize for that. But there's so much that we want to share with you. It's amazing how
exactly.
easy it is for us to think about these terms now that we've been studying it. But we're trying to break it down for you. So let's go back. Let's kind of pull this back and understand that everything starts with the level at which you can be open to thinking in a different way, first of all, meaning that you are open to a new idea. You may be experiencing some of this knowledge for the very first time in your history. And if that's the case, it's going to be a little bit startling for you to think that all these years you've been taught something different and it's going to be in conflict with what you're hearing now. And if you allow yourself to be closed-minded because of that, then you'll remain exactly where you are, no further down the track than you are currently, possibly going in the opposite direction.
Right.
So one of the things I want to encourage people to do is to come to these shows with an open mind. At least be neutral in receiving the information and then reflect on it. Take the time to be full of thought, thoughtful in reflecting on it before you simply reject it because it's different than what you've heard or been taught in the past.
Right. And I'm also going to encourage you that, you know, as you're reflecting, go research it. Go look it up. Go find out more. You know,
well, that's what
one of the most important things that you need to understand about this show is I am not positioning myself as an expert. Glenn is not telling you that he is a master of this information. We are learning. We are students just like you. We're just a little bit further along the path. That's all. And our intention is to bring anybody who's interested along with us for the journey.
And on that note, we're sharing our experiences with actually having done what we're recommending for you, which is to open your mind to be teachable and open to change, open to a different way of thinking. If the way that you have thought to this point in time has not resulted in your having the lifestyle that you want, then you really ought to think about changing the way you think. If you want to change your circumstances, you need to change the way you think. And on that note, I want to encourage people, since we are bouncing around quite a bit here and sharing a lot of information, we may need to turn the fire hose off a little bit and be a little bit more compartmentalized with some of these thoughts. But
I know, but when the energy's flowing, I hate to cut it off. So
and just understand that a large part of the fire hose approach where we're throwing these thoughts out is the fact that we want so much to share and to bring you along faster than it took for us to get to this point in time. Mia came along faster than I did with these things because I was there to keep, you know, directing her and giving her this book and that book and having a chat and being thoughtful in our reflections on it.
Exactly. And, you know, Glenn came along as a guide. You know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And so it's my hope that I can, you know, accelerate your growth as well by doing this.
Exactly. And that's why I'm so supportive of what you're doing, because you're doing for others exactly what I think I did for you, which was to help
but
you
I
to
know
quickly.
You did.
Okay. What you had done for you, you're sharing with others by helping people to get this information faster, understand the importance of it, and make it part of who they are. So one of the things that I was going to suggest is that since we are bouncing around quite a bit, if you have questions, please email Mia and ask the questions, and we'll address those questions on the next show episode or on a future show episode.
Absolutely. So the email address is very simple. It's feelgood@elementalabundance.com. You can also join our online community at Facebook/Elemental Abundance. You can follow us on Twitter @@mentaldance. And you can also follow us on Instagram @mentaldancing.
All right, now do that email address one more time, because
the
that's where they're going to ask the questions.
But you can ask questions anywhere, and I wanted to give people options. So the email address one more time is feelgood@elementalabundance.com.
Excellent, excellent.
So one of the reasons that this is Elemental Abundance is because of my personal fascination. You know, there are creationists. I'm sorry to step into religion for just a second, but there are creationists and there are evolutionists, and then there's me, who believes that there's no separation, that it's the same thing. So I'm fascinated by the the blending, the natural harmony between classical sciences and quantum physics. So the reason that this is elemental abundance is because we're going to share a little bit of each. Now, I'm not a scientist. I don't play one on TV. But I am going to share with you what I learn as I go along. And one of the cool things that I just came across is Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. Yeah, I know we're talking about certainty today, but just hang on for a second and trust me. So what this refers to, the uncertainty principle, is the unavoidable tendency of humans to influence situations. The unavoidable tendency of humans to influence situations. Because quantum particles are pure potentiality. They can be particles or they can be waves. So they're both and they're neither. Experimenting affects their behavior. And you're sitting here listening to me going, what in the hell are you talking about? So let me break it down to you very simply. Observation affects the outcomes. And that is true for thinking in a certain way and acting in a certain way. So let me explain what that means. So to manifest abundance, there are three steps. You have to ask, you have to believe, and then you will receive. So to follow along the same train of thought that we were using earlier with regard to financial security, obviously asking in a very deliberate, certain dictatorial way didn't work. So I took a step back. I read some more. I talked some more. I listened some more. I watched some more. And I made a decision. And your life can change at the speed of your decisions. I chose to put my certainty into the belief step instead of the asking step. So I had this job until very recently, working in a law office, and I knew that this was a temp job. It was coming to an end. And the people around me, my family, my friends, were freaking out. Oh my God, you know, your last day is, you know, the 25th of March. What are you going to do? It's all going to be fine. I'm not worried about this. But why aren't you worried? Because you need this and you need to do this and you should be doing this and you should be doing the other thing. It's like, the universe has got this. Something is coming. I'm not worried about this. It's handled, to quote a certain popular TV show. And what I mean by this is, believe it or not, and I'd prefer that you believe it, because that's what this is about, is believing with certainty. I can't believe I'm admitting this for the first time, because some people are going to really freak out when they hear this, people who know me. Even though this job was ending on a certain date and I was, quote, running out of time, I never did a job search. I never applied for anything.
You were going to be in trouble
when you get back home. I know. But I knew that something great was coming. I knew the universe was going to take care of me and my needs. And I just continued to believe in a certain way. I continued to be grateful in advance. And I just, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, acting in a certain way. So I'm not going to say that I got down on my knees and prayed or I went to yoga class or anything. I simply, okay, this is going to sound crazy, but I don't care. I'm about being authentic and transparent.
Put it out there.
I imagined a little ball of sunshine in the middle of my chest. And every time the whole, you know, thought of the job or concept of the job or what was coming next came up, I would just send this little ball of sunshine out from my chest up to the sky. And I said, thank you for whatever's coming. I just said, thank you in advance, knowing, believing with certainty that something was. And what ended up happening was an amazing opportunity was presented about 4 weeks before the job ended. And because there was an immediate need in this opportunity, there was actually going to be some overlap. This new opportunity was going to start before the old job had even ended. And my certainty and my faith has been so strong that not only did I officially get offered that new opportunity, but I've had two other job opportunities come out of nowhere. And I wasn't looking, I wasn't asking, but these two other job opportunities came out of nowhere just literally in the last couple of days.
Now hold that thought for a minute. You notice how you talked in terms of the job you had and the new opportunity.
That was deliberate.
And the job offers that have been made since then and the new opportunity. Notice how your financial independence or your financial opportunity wasn't even a traditional job.
No.
Now, if you had been focused on getting your resume together and circulating the resume and getting in line for a job, you would have missed this other financial opportunity, which apparently was more in harmony than with a traditional job environment. You now are in a position to work from wherever you want and to generate income that keeps you at a point where you are building for the future, and you are doing something that you love as opposed to doing it just because it makes money. Right. And almost all those other job opportunities were just about making money. They weren't helping you to grow in any fashion in terms of what you really want to do in life. It's amazing how perfectly aligned this new financial opportunity was for you in terms of your future growth and what you're looking to do. You're actually learning. You're getting basically paid to learn something you're going to apply on your own behalf while you're applying it on behalf of the company that you're going to be providing services to.
Exactly. And I want to step back for a moment and go back to that initial part of the process. You see, I never asked for the specific opportunity because I didn't know it existed. I didn't know it was possible for me. I didn't know I could have this. I mean, it's mind-blowing. You know, and when I tell you I'm still a student to this work, I still get overwhelmed by the awesomeness of these cool things that are happening. And Glenn's just like, of course. But I'm like, no, really, this is so awesome. He's like, of course. But I want to step back for a moment and say, I never specifically asked for this opportunity because I didn't know it existed. But what I did do was I made a list. What is it that I really want in terms of what I'm doing? So I made a list on a scrap of paper that said, well, I want flexible hours. I want to be able to, you know, work from home occasionally. I want this to be part of my work experience. I want that to be part of my work experience. And I had a list of like 15 things. And then what I did was I folded it up and I stuck it in my purse. And I carried that list around with me everywhere. And I'd occasionally take it out, look at it, scratch a couple things off, add some things to it, you know, and write a brand new list, and then fold that one up and bring it with me. So even though I wasn't actively asking verbally, because I was still busy dictating verbally, I want this, I want that, I want the other, I want you to understand that I was unconsciously competent in my true, authentic asking, because that list of paper was not, I want to work in Baltimore versus DC, I want to make X amount of money. It was about the benefit of the benefits. It was about what this job was truly going to mean for me and let me be able to do for myself and my son. And so when this new opportunity came, it's actually like mind-blowing how well it fit with everything that I had written on this piece of paper.
And so let me see if I can maybe give some insight into what happened there, at least from my understanding of the way the law works.
Yeah, because I still don't know how I did it.
All right, so you chose to give your attention to thoughts that made you feel good. When you thought about the concept of working from home, that inspired you more than just how much money you were going to make in a job. Because frankly, you wanted to make the money, but you did not want a job. You weren't looking forward to getting into rush hour traffic and driving to work. But you, in your head, because of previous experience, that's how you had traditionally made money. And so all these people around you that were encouraging you to get the next job, and you knew in your heart that you didn't really want a job. You'd had a chance to taste entrepreneurship. And even though you were still, you know, getting your sea legs under you with respect to entrepreneurship, you knew that you did not really want a job. And so the universe didn't present you with a job. It presented you with an opportunity to be rewarded financially.
And here's just a quick interjection. The universe delivered what I asked for in my heart and in my soul, not what I asked for with my words. And that's a distinction too. A lot of times we get caught up and we speak what we think we're supposed to say, what we think other people want to hear, what is expected of us by society. But in your heart, You know, people talk about gut instincts. Well, this is one of them. In my heart, I knew I didn't want to sit in a cubicle with no windows and have to come and go at somebody else's pleasure.
So hold that thought for a minute, because the words are the mechanical application of what you think you want in your life. But the universe doesn't care about the words. It's not hearing that. The universe is responding to the energy you send out. And that's why sometimes you know what's in your heart, but you say what's politically correct. The universe responds to what's in your heart, not what's politically correct. So when your family and friends are asking you about, aren't you looking for a job? And don't you, can you get me a copy of your resume? And you're sitting there saying, yeah, I'll send that to you. You know in your heart that the last thing that you want is for them to have your resume. And that's, and so fortunately, the universe is in tune with your heart, which is why it's important for you to become tuned into what's in your heart. And that usually means what your true interest is. And that's why a big part of making this work for you is to be honest with yourself about what you're interested in. Not what somebody else thinks you should be interested in, not what you think will please somebody else, but what you in your heart are truly interested in. And when you combine your interest with the concept of giving true attention to that interest, and that's what you did when you wrote those things down, put them on paper, visualized it, started thinking about what it would make you feel like to have that. That's what we mean by giving attention. And giving attention in that way is what it means to act in a certain way. You started seeing yourself being in a scenario where you could work from home, make the kind of money you needed to make, be able to support your son and do the things that were important to you. And you believed that you could have that. And you wrote it down because, you know, someone, you know, you wouldn't have written those wishes down if you didn't believe you could have it.
Yeah, that's true. There might be some people out there listening who have the same struggle that I did for a long time. A lot of the aspect and the energy of the certainty that I have now is very, very new to me. You know, it has taken me years to repair my self-esteem and to have enough self-confidence to get to a place of believing, yeah, you know what? I do deserve to love what I'm doing for a job or a work opportunity. I do believe that I deserve to be happy. I'm worth, you know, the things that I'm asking for. There may be people out there listening who have that same uncertainty about what they deserve. You know, maybe they think that a 40-hour a week with a 2-hour each way commute is the best that they deserve. But like Glenn said earlier, we're asking, if you're out there listening to the messages and not just hearing the messengers, this is why we're asking you to have an open mind. Abundance is not just something that we're experiencing here at Village Connector Community Center. This is something that is available to everyone.
That's right. And it's available to everyone who can open their minds to a thought process that may be different than what they've become comfortable with. And that's why personal development is so important, because it's where the real learning begins. You know, your academic degree is great, and congratulations if you have one. I'm telling you right now, don't fret if you don't. You know, when I speak with high school and college students who are getting diplomas and degrees, I tell them, congratulations on your degree. Now it's time for the real learning to begin. Welcome to your life. And that's what we're really talking about here, is how to begin the process of mastering your life. And that begins with understanding the laws of the universe, the natural laws of the universe. You know, and I guess in a lot of ways, since it's the study of laws, we're all lawyers now. That makes me that makes me cringe. but when you think about it, though, life is a education process that starts with our birth and ends with our physical presence, you know, physically stopping on this planet. You know,
it's okay to say death. People understand that concept.
All right, so cradle to grave, literally. Okay. My point in saying that is that a lot of us think that our learning stopped when we graduated and got our whatever degree it was, whether it was a bachelor's or a master's or a PhD or a doctorate, whatever.
Or
whatever,
an associate's or a GED, whatever, it's whatever. Cool.
It doesn't matter what it is. The point is that if you believe that your learning stopped at that point, then your growth and your enjoyment, your ability to enjoy life beyond where you are right now also stopped.
Yep.
In a lot of ways, it actually is receding because other people around you are growing, the world is changing, things are changing, and you're not. I mean, think about how many people right now went to school at a time when there was no such thing as the internet. And if you didn't have an understanding of the importance to learn about the internet, you wouldn't be listening to us right now. How much would that have changed your opportunity to get information if you didn't get on Facebook or Twitter or someplace else to get this information? So your life should be about learning how to be the best that you can be right now. And if you made that your mission every day that you get up in the morning, if you're looking for what you're going to learn today and how you're going to apply what you learn in your life, that's how you master your life. And one of the things that you can do that really advances the ball more than anything else is understanding how to work with the natural laws of the universe. You see, a lot of people don't, they have a hard time believing because no one's ever talked with them in this concept about what it means, the natural laws of the universe. This is an understanding of how to make things materialize that, you know, in your life. Whether you call it prayer, whether you call it, you know, the law of attraction, like attracts like, we become what we think about most, all these phrases, they all are leading us to the same thing, which is that what we want in our life starts with what we choose to devote our attention to.
Absolutely. You said something a couple minutes ago when you were giving the story about the priest and the flood. You mentioned be on the lookout for what you asked for. And then just now you said the same thing. You said, you know, be looking for what you're going to learn today. And that kind of touches back to that Heisenberg principle that the outcomes are affected by your observations. You get what you focus on. You get what you give attention to, like you said. So, for example, my mother's mother, my late grandmother, God, what a miserable person. And I mean that. She was a miserable, miserable woman. And it's because of the things she paid attention to. You know, she got, all I ever remember her doing was watching the news. She didn't watch anything else on TV. She watched the news and she read the newspapers and all of the gloom and the doom and the bad and the violent and the horrible is the only thing that she was looking at. And therefore, that's the only thing that she saw. And she did her best to pass that misery on to everyone around her. She saw the worst in every situation. She didn't believe anything with certainty, except she was certain that more bad stuff was going to happen.
So what you have to keep in mind is that what you see is largely a matter of what you look for. You have a tendency to see things in a negative light if that's the mindset that you tend to have. If your initial reaction to things is that it's a problem, then you will see more problems. You know, I've had to learn to condition myself when people call not to say, what's the matter? I should be saying, what's right? But again, that's a part of an enculturation process that I've experienced for 53 years now. So it does take time to get out of the habit, because that's exactly what it is. It's a habit. And habits are neither good nor bad. The character of the habit is determined by what it's doing to advance you. If it's a habit that's advancing your understanding, your knowledge, or the speed at which you can accomplish what you're seeking to accomplish, then that would make it a good habit. If it's something that's holding you back or putting you in a position of negativity, then obviously it would be perceived as a bad habit. But here's the point. Your habits, where you devote your attention, developing the habit to educate yourself consistently, all those things will affect the quality of life that you get to lead because of the choices that you make. And so This show, Elemental Abundance, is about helping you to understand the importance of and the significance of the choices that you make.
And encouraging you to choose better.
That's right.
You know, just like my grandmother saw, you know, the world going to hell in a handbasket, to use her exact phrasing. I choose to see the good, to look on the bright side, as corny as that sounds. But I'm sitting here loving my life, waking up every morning, no matter what the weather, and seeing it as sunny. And I expect, I don't just ask for, I don't just believe, I expect good things every single day. Now, it might not be a winning lottery ticket. It might be somebody who smiles at you and says good morning. It might be extra French fries when you go to your fast food order. It can be anything. But the reason that I appreciate and I'm grateful for the good things that happen to me is because I'm looking for them. Because my observation affects my outcomes. And my outcomes are good. They are sunny. They are positive. They are abundant. Because I choose not to give the attention that Glenn was talking about to the things that are, quote, wrong or bad. And that's a judgment. You know, things just are. I love something that Tony Robbins says in a lot of his teaching. I think I was listening to The Ultimate Edge. And he says, you know, one of the fastest ways to grow personally is to see things as they are and not worse than they are.
And that's a profound statement, because we have a tendency to watch or observe something happening around us. And the view scope that we have developed in response to what's happening will typically determine the character of that thing for us. If we have a negative view scope, we tend to see the bad in things that are happening around us. I'll give you a very simple example of this. It's kind of, you know, basic, but when they first came out with airbags for cars, there were times where airbags saved lives, and there were times where airbags caused the loss of life. That means killed people. Some people fought airbags because they killed people. Because, you know, 1 out of 1,000 people, or 1 out of whatever the number was, would end up having an airbag deploy in a way that would cause their death. Now, there isn't a car in the world today that's built without airbags. So obviously more people saw good in airbags than saw bad in it. But there's tragedy in every opportunity if that's what you look for.
Yeah.
You know, we see the same thing with vaccinations. You know, people talk, and I'm not going to get into politics.
We're not getting into that today.
Well, here's
the
point.
You know what? It's my show. Vaccinate your damn kids so that you're not infecting everyone else on the planet.
But here's the point, though. Vaccinations save lives. And sometimes they take lives. And so those of us that value vaccinations, and I'm not saying whether I do or don't, it's not important, because it's the discussion is about whether or not you, what you see, the value you see in certain things. Now, here's the thing that really ends up being important to keep in mind. You can change your view scope anytime you choose to change it. When you find yourself looking at the negative in something, you can choose to find something positive about it. And that can be a challenge sometimes, especially if you're not used to thinking in that way. But that's why learning how to think differently becomes so important. It should be part of your, I think it should be the major part of your focus. When you open your eyes to see more than what you've traditionally allowed yourself to see in circumstances, it's amazing, at a minimum, how much you have to now compare.
Yeah.
When I think about, you know, things I experienced growing up because of what my parents taught me, you know, they were teaching me based on what they knew. And now I'm learning based on what others know and what, you know, people that they didn't have access to. You know, they were giving me the best they had to offer based on their personal experience. And now I'm working with the personal experiences of people that had much more opportunity to see more.
And that's the point I was just about to make. You know, the purpose of this podcast is to let you know that you don't have to grow personally by yourself. You know, that we are doing this together. And so the best possible way to learn how to change your view scope is to change who you hang around with. I forget the name of the, I forget the author, but it's something about like the five people you meet in heaven. I think it's Mitch Albom, might be his book. But, you know, you really do become like the people you hang around, which is why I love hanging around Village Connector Community Center, because I'm surrounded by like-minded people who do think positively, who do believe in abundance, who are certain that we can change the world by changing ourselves. And because of that, you know, I have chosen to let some people drift away from my life. I'm not going to say I cut them off or I shove them out, but I've allowed the space between us to grow to the point that we don't spend a lot of time together. I am truly blessed, you know, to have a Glenn Garnes in my life. And you might not have a Glenn Garnes, but there's somebody in your life, you know somebody who's always upbeat and perky. Go spend time with them.
And I have a quote that I'd like to share, and the person who is responsible for this quote escapes me right now, even though it's one of the ones on the wall in the sanctuary, in our Village Connector Community Center in the sanctuary area.
Well, we'll look it up and post it for you in the show notes.
Yeah, but I'm going to give you the quote, but I won't know who the author is, but or who the originator of it is, but it's surround yourself by the, live by the 3-foot rule. That means keep people like this within 3 feet of you at all times. Surround yourself with people who enhance you spiritually, emotionally, and intellectually. Surround yourself by people who enhance you spiritually, emotionally, and intellectually. And that's not the direct quote. There's something else. Professionally is the other one. But here's my point. You should be looking to be around people who inspire you, people who want to see you succeed, people who want to play a role in your success. And you should want to play that role for other people as well, which is why your investing in personal development becomes so important. Because as you become better at who you are, you become more valuable to yourself and more valuable to others. And that's why I love what you're doing. I had no idea that when I introduced you to some of the original personal development material, that would end up blossoming into your wanting to share this with others through your radio show, through your website, and through all the things that you're doing. I had no idea that that was going to take place.
Neither did I.
Well, that's the point. But see, here's the thing. When you plant a seed, you never know how large it's going to grow. And that's what happened for you, is that I planted a seed with you about, I gave you an idea, which was to invest in yourself through personal development. And you took that idea and you ran with it. And you got so much joy and satisfaction out of it that you felt compelled to share that with others.
Exactly.
And the reason I'm mentioning that is that this is why it's so important for us to stick together in this journey as your, you know, the audience for the show and everything else, because somebody else out here is going to be inspired by you. That seed's going to get planted with them. And your sharing of this information is going to reach people that you're not even going to know. Right now, the seed that I planted with you is reaching people that I will never know. But I do know that somebody's life is going to be enriched by what you're sharing through Elemental Abundance. Many people's lives are going to be enriched by that. And it all started with my sharing an idea with you and you're being open to that idea. If that seed had fallen on shallow soil, shallow ground, it would never have blossomed to what it is and what it's going to be, because you're just getting started. I can't wait to see what this is going to look like, you know, even 2 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now.
And that's where the certainty about the third step comes from. You know, it's ask, believe, receive. And because I surround myself with like-minded people, because I'm open-minded. Now, let me step back for a second, because that sounds like bragging. Let me put it in different terms. When you choose to surround yourself with open-minded, positive thinking people, when you choose to focus on giving and making a difference in the world and the value that you offer, then you can be absolutely certain that you are going to receive everything that you need, everything that you want, and so much more. That's where the other part of certainty comes into. I have no idea where I'm going with this show. I have no idea what the ripple effect is going to be. But I'm already receiving joy just from doing it and by sharing it with you and hoping that you're out there listening and that you're going to join the conversation.
Now, some people may be a little bit disarmed by the fact that you don't have a set agenda, if you will, with respect to where this is going. But here's the truth. Anytime people get together to discuss ideas, it can never lead to something that's not worthy of humanity. And so, again, having an agenda means that you've already dictated the path.
And somebody I know keeps reminding me that I don't need to do that. Who was that?
So that's why your choice to make this very free-flowing, it's not like just 30 minutes. It's whatever it needs to be today. And there's no specific, we don't have like a, you know, an agenda.
Yeah,
or,
we don't have an
agenda. We're just talking. We had a general idea of what we wanted to talk about. That's why everything starts with an idea. The idea was to talk about certainty today. And that's all. I mean, I don't have any notes or anything on this. I'm just speaking from my own experience with certainty. And you can probably perceive some of that because I'm not like real orderly like you would have in a textbook right now.
Yeah. This is not polished. This is not scripted. And in fact, we didn't even talk about it. Literally, before we turned on the microphones, we were having a totally other discussion. And finally, it's like, okay, wait, look at the time. We got to kind of get going
exactly,
on this.
Exactly. But, you know, the discussion that we had, though, is actually going to end up, I think.
It already has ended up in this conversation.
Yeah. Part of it came up today, but we're going to expand. I think we should devote at least a part of some other show in the future to the concept of the three-step process of manifestation.
Absolutely. You know, we've touched on it today in terms of certainty, but I feel like this is such a fundamental, and fundamental is fun and mental. It is such
you
a
love
fun
saying
I
that.
Do. And this is, you know, the process is so fundamental to changing your life, to manifesting abundance. Let's go ahead and just agree that we are going to devote, you know, a future podcast to, you know, asking, believing, receiving, aiming, however you want to phrase it, because the phrasing's going to change by the time we get to it. But for today, I am certainly grateful that you shared this time with me. I am certain that it's going to be a great day, and so is tomorrow. And I'm certain that I feel good.
That is a beautiful thing, because there are times in our lives where we get up in the morning and we not only don't feel good, we're not even sure how we feel because we haven't given any thought to it. If you simply bring your thoughts back to what you want to feel and begin visualizing yourself experiencing that, you will always put yourself in a frame of mind to attract it. And you have to believe that that will happen for you. Because that's what makes it so.
And in the meantime, we're going to hold the space of belief and believe it for you. So thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Mia Zachary. He's Glenn Garnes. And until next time, blessed be.